Just wanted to add one point from last time, which is that the Rebbetzin made a comment about how there was a certain point in history, the Minchas Chinuch brings this up as well, that there was a certain point in history where there were a lot of Kohanim, and when they would divide up the Minachos that the Kohanim are supposed to eat, I remember we said before in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Daled, that there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to eat the melachos, the menachos, the meal offerings, at least the ones that are supposed to be eaten. So at a certain point in history, when they would divide up the menachos amongst all the Kohanim who were on duty in the Beis HaMikdash at that time, they would only be a kipul, only the amount of a tiny lentil, bean, something like that, that would get to each person and not even a kizayis. So it says, the Gemara says, that the more religious Kohanim used to decline their portion, because they didn't want to eat such a tiny amount, because it's less than a kezias, and the mitzvah, any mitzvah of eating is only really fulfilled if there's more than a kezias. The Minchas Chinuch rejects different interpretations,
would they get the mitzvah?
Right. The Minchas Chinuch rejects the idea that there was still a little sort of mitzvah, just not a total mitzvah, in them eating less than a kezias, only amount of a little bean, a little lentil. And says no, that the point is that the more religious Kohanim used to decline their portion so that there's at least somebody would have a kezias worth, an olive's bulk, and really fulfill the mitzvah of eating the korban. So the Minchas Chinuch says that, in other words, the mitzvah's achila here, the eating, is not the be-all and end-all. That clearly doesn't override the idea that you have to divide it up evenly amongst all the Kohanim who have a schus in it. All the Kohanim who are supposed to take part in it, you can't just say, well, you don't get because there's not going to be a kezias for someone to eat. There has to be a full olive's bulk. No, you everybody, all the Kohanim who are on duty at that time have a right to receive a portion, even if, as a result, then nobody is really going to be fulfilling the exact mitzvah of eating the korban.
The whole thing is nicer. I give it to you.
Right, that's within their power. They can decline their portion. Right, that's why the more religious Kohanim used to decline their portion so that the mitzvah thing would be eaten eventually. Another point is that I presented the view of Rashi last time when we talked about not making the portions of the menachos that are supposed to be eaten into, and not baking it in a chametz fashion. So we said that the hamechametz achar mechametz chayav, that if you leaven it after someone else has already leavened it, then that is a problem. That is problematic. So a lot of the commentator that Rashi says the literal reading doesn't make sense because once it's leavened, it can't become more leaven. So he says that it has to do with the different stages of the baking process, that when you knead it as chametz and then you bake it as chametz, or you put a glaze on top of it as chametz, then all of those are a problem because they're different stages in the baking process and making with the menachos being in a chametz dika state. As Art Scroll points out, actually, that it could be that the Chinuch and maybe the Rambam interpret it in a literal fashion, even though all the Mefarshim go crazy and they say, well, how could that be? That makes no sense. Once it's already become leaven, you throw in a little bit more yeast, doesn't become more leaven. So maybe that's not true. So it could be that the Chinuch, since he just states it in the simple fashion, and that he really thinks that if you just put in more sourdough and make it more leaven, then that is also a problem. So that's just something to keep in mind. Okay, we're a mitzvah kuf lamed vav. Mitzvah 136, which is Mitzvah's Korban Mincha Shel Kohen Gadol B'chol Yom, that the high priest has to offer his own special meal offering every single day. So what would you think? Does this meal offering get eaten or does it get completely burnt? Well, it gets completely burnt because the Kohen Gadol is also a Kohen. And we point out that any time a Kohen, a male priest, who's serving in the any Kohen brings a meal offering, then it does not get eaten, it gets burned completely on the altar. So of course, Kal v'chomer, the mincha of a Kohen Gadol, the high priest also, he's no worse than a regular priest, his mincha does not get eaten, it gets burned. And it's Tavinu, Shiyakriv HaKohen HaGadol Mincha B'chol Yom Pamayim. The Kohen Gadol has to offer a meal offering daily, twice. In the morning and the evening, just like the Korban Tamid, that there's a daily offering, an animal offering in the morning and in the evening. So it's the same idea. This is the Korban of Aaron and his sons that he will offer up to God. This is the mincha of chavitin, which is a certain type of pan of the high priest. Minchas Kohen Mashiach. In the literature of Chazal, it's called the Mincha of an anointed Kohen, although as the Chinuch will point out a little bit later, that it's not only a Kohen Gadol who was anointed who has to bring the Korban, but any type of Kohen Gadol has to bring this Korban, even if we know in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, for example, they no longer had the anointing oil. So the Kohen Gadol became invested as the Kohen Gadol simply by wearing all the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, and that was that. So he too, even though he has not been anointed with the anointing oil, and for some purposes he's a little bit less high than the earlier high priests, but in this case he has to bring the korban, the chavite Kohen Gadol, just the same. Mishor she ha mitzvah, the reasoning behind the mitzvah is as follows. The fisha kohen ha gadol ashleach ben Yisrael avim shebashamayim. The kohen, the high priest, but he's the connection between the people and God. Kilomar kiwa nosei tefila I love ba'adam. He davens for them. Validay tefiloso masav korbanosav heimis kaprim. So through the actions of the kohen gadol and his prayers and his offering certain sacrifices, so the Jewish people and as a whole receive atonement. So since this person is the most important person in the Jewish people vis-a-vis the relationship between the Jewish people and God and how they worship him, so therefore it's appropriate that the Kohen Gadol should have his own korban every day. It's just a matter of chashivas, of importance for him. Just as the korban tamid on behalf of the Jewish people is twice per day, same idea. His special mincha is twice a day. The point of a korban is to make the owner connect more with God in terms of his manner of thinking and action. So it'll be good for him and for the Jewish people as well who receive atonement through the Kohen Gadol. So when somebody offers their own personal korban, it has a greater effect on him or her than if he or she would be offering. It would be part of the communal korban. So people think, go to Beis HaMikdash and you see them doing the daily sacrifice, for example, in the morning and the evening. Okay, the daily sacrifice, no. But when you have to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring your own chatas, you violated Shabbos or something, and you have to bring a korban chatas, so you watch your cow being slaughtered and offered on the, not cow, whatever, a different animal being slaughtered on the altar, and has much more an effect of you. So too, since the Kohen Gadol is going to have a greater effect on him offering his own personal sacrifice, this meal offering, than if he would be just doing a general, something more general. So somebody who is more connected to a specific thing will have a greater impact on him. I'm not going to go on a great length talk discussing this. The logos of the mitzvah, Masha Amru, Ketzad Asiyas Chavite Kohen Gadol. So how do you do it? How does the Kohen Gadol do it? Mevi Isarun Shalim Shel Kemach Shalim. He brings a full Isarun, which again we said was about 2 liters, something like that, of flour. Again, what the second word shalem, whole flour, is doing over here. It doesn't mean like whole wheat flour. Kemach shalem in modern Hebrew means whole wheat flour or whole grain flour. V'chotzehu, so some editions delete this word actually. Shalem. V'chotzehu b'chatzi isaron sheba mikdash. So he divides it in half. Why? Because half is in the morning and half is in the evening. That even though it's divided and have to be sacrificed, the truth is that since it's sort of two halves of one whole, then it has to all, when all the flour comes together and is kept in this measure, which is a holy kli, a holy vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, so it all has to be sanctified together for this purpose as the Kohen Gadol's daily meal offering, and it's just then split in half for one in the morning, one in the evening. Kilomar shekula mevia biyichud umevi ima shlosha lugin shemen. You bring 3 lugin of shemen. So what's 3 lugin? So a lug is about 300 milliliters. So 3 lugin is 900 milliliters. So about a little bit less than a liter of oil. Okay. Uvolil hasolas b'shemen. Then you mix up the oil with the fine flour. Again, solas is fine flour, so that's kemach shalim in the sense of the modern Hebrew. Where in the olden days, fine sifted, nice white clean flour was considered more mishubach, more important, more better than whole flour, whole grain flour was nowadays. It's the opposite.
Maybe.
No, it's more expensive. For some reason.
It's organic. And it's
No. Even regular whole wheat flour is more expensive than regular white flour. And that always counterintuitive to me because I think it's processed less. But there's it's considered more of a specialty
market.
Item
it's
now.
About
some people still consider the French pastry steps will still consider the fine solace to be better, but a lot of times people think that it's more of a specialty item to get the whole grain. V'cholet osa baroskin, and you immerse it in boiling water quickly. V'ala chalita means the water is already boiling, and you stick something. And you stick it in to blanch. I guess that's the best English translation. Velash mikol chatzi saron sheish chalos, and you knead from each half of the saron. Again, half of the total amount, which suffices for the entire day's Kohen Gadol meal offering. Nimsa shem shtei mesrei chalos. So there's a total of 12 because we learned it out from the lechem haponim, the showbread where there are 12 loaves. So here too, there are 12 loaves for the Kohen Gadol's chavitin. The achas achas hayunaso, so you'd make it one by one. V'cheitzad osa, how does he do it? Mechalek hashlosha lugin bervias sheva mikdash. So then you take the three lugin the three lugin of oil bervias sheva mikdash. So you separate it out into quantities of a revias. Revias l'chol challah. In other words, a revias, the measure that we call a revias, which just means a fourth, is the revias halug. It's short for, it's the standard quarter, it was one of the standard quarter measures, one of the standard cup sizes in the times of the of Chazal. And that way we call it just a fourth, but it really means a fourth of a lug. So a lug, I said, was about 300 milliliters. That means a revias is about 75 milliliters, or probably a little less than 3 ounces, 2.6 ounces or so. That's going according to the small shear, which I certainly assume that they did use in the times of Beis HaMikdash. Again, according to the, what we call Chazanish shiurim, or the bigger shiurim that are somewhat popular nowadays, the Mishnah Berurah recommends that you should be choshish for this in terms of when there's a deraisa mitzvah involved. So, for example, for Kiddush Friday night, the Mishnah Berurah recommends that we should be choshish for what we call the doubled shiurim, or the Chazanish shiurim, or the Tzlach shiurim from the Noda Behuda. So that's twice as much. That's 150 milliliters, or about 5 ounces, or so. So that's. But we assume that they did not. The original shiurim are the smaller ones, and that's what we're talking about over here. So if it makes sense. So you had 3 lugin divided by 12, right? You had 3 lugin total for all 12 chalos. So divided by 12, you get a revias per chala. 3 divided by 12 is 1/4. The ofe hachala naat, you bake it a little bit, not too much. So you fry it with the oil that's soaked in it, I guess. So with that same oil, you saute this challah, this loaf of bread. It's not braided.
Yeah,
it's not what we call it nowadays. Challah with a braided. They didn't have all these fancy breads in those days. Although, by the way, that's not stam a minag to have to braid the challah. The real point of braiding the challah is because al pi kabbalah, you're supposed to use at each Shabbos meal 12 challahs, like we have the lechem aponim, and like here in the minchas kohen gadol, there's a big inyan of 12 breads. So it's a little weird to have 12 gigantic loaves of bread on the table. So the way people compromise between the real halacha, which is that you have 2 breads per meal, and the kabbalah is that you make each bread out of 6 braids, and then you have 6 braids of 2, so it's 12 braids and 2 loaves
I'm
per meal. So people use different numbers because then people, you know, these things switch. They just use. But now they, instead of realizing that this was to be Yotzi the Kabbalah, so they So then you don't have to. I didn't say that. It really is the biyotze the Kabbalah. So then people just think, oh, so it's supposed to be braided, so you use different numbers. But if you're making braided challah, you might as well do six. I was asked the terms of the upcoming Tu B'Shvat dinner where we're having Israeli cuisine. So somebody asked if she could order pita for the Lecha Mishnah to have. So of course that's this is all cute, like you said, it's cute things that suggest the other the Inyan al pi Kabbalah. We don't pass like that at all. That's not the Gaon Bracha. Certainly we use plain rolls for our pitas or whatever shape bread for Lecha Mishnah. This is just a nice cute thing that Jewish women wanted to be yotze all these things. It reminds me also that tzitzit strings are supposed to be what we call shazur, or it's not supposed to be one strand of thread that each tzitzit string, it's supposed to be composed of of more than one thread twisted together. So really, what's the minimum number of twisted threads? Two. If you have two threads twisted together, it makes one big thread. So, al pi Kabbalah again, you're supposed to be, each string of the tzitzit is supposed to be composed of eight threads. So what they do, similar to the braided challah, is they make big threads, each of four. They make two, they take four really thin strings, and they twist that into one thick string of four. It's composed of four. Then they take two of those, and they twist those into two. So that way, you're yotze both a basic halacha that it really should be two, and why should it be more than two? And your yotze, whatever inyan there is to be yotze the Kabbalah, LP of having your tzitzit strings composed of eight strings each. But the maisa that makes it very thick, so you don't cook it too long. So you saute your challah on the pan, and you don't cook it too much. Why don't you cook it too much? It's a difference of opinion amongst the Tanoim. And because it says tufine, one of the words that describes this is the tufine. So the Rambam tells us that tufine means that it's not totally raw, not totally cooked. It's somewhere in the middle. We'll see. I don't know. So, anyway, the drush is that it means half cooked and half raw. So just don't cook it. Don't overcook it. The acher kach, I always think it's a shame to cook dough anyway. Cook batter. I prefer it just raw, but.
Well, you have the outside crisp.
Yeah. Then you take each challah and divide it into two. So you should offer half in the morning, half in the evening. What do? You take the two, you take the halves, and you fold it. You fold it into two. Uposes, then you break them into pieces. So each piece is like a half a challah folded into two. So it looks sort of like that, I guess. Do we have a picture in the fancy article? So you offer up the half with half a fistful of frankincense in the morning. And again, the same thing in the evening. The kolil ha'ishim has burned completely on the altar, of course, and not eaten by anyone. This is for the Kohen Gadol only, obviously. And it's considered to be one mitzvah, even though it's twice a day. Even the Ramban doesn't disagree. The Rambam apparently says that the two daily offerings, one in the morning, one in the evening, are considered two separate mitzvahs. The Ramban says that they're really one mitzvah with two parts of the mitzvah. But here, everybody agrees, even the Rambam agrees, that it's one mitzvah because it says explicitly one thing, half in the morning and half in the evening, whereas in the other place it says you do one in the morning and one in the evening. Okay? So then there are all these discussions, by the way, also about whether if the Kohen Gadol dies or he does resign or he somehow gets fired from his position. So who's responsible for bringing this daily offering? Is it the general congregation of Israel? Do you pay for it from the communal funds? Or do his heirs have to pay for it until the new Kohen Gadol is appointed? Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Zayin 137. Shelo lechol minchas kohen. Not to eat the mincha of any priest, which has been alluded to before, but here is an explicit negative commandment to that effect. Shelo lechol minchas kohen. Shenemar v'chol minchas kohen kolil tia lo seyachel. Every mincha, it's pretty explicit, of a priest should be burnt completely. It should not be. Mishor she hamitzvah hayesod shamarnu tchila. The reasoning is ki kavanas a korban leorer lev hamakrivoso. The point of the korban is to awaken the heart of the person who's offering it. In other words, it's interesting because it's the same person bringing the korban and who's then going to eat the korban. Because even when a Yisrael, when a regular Jew brings a mincha, so it's the kohanim who eat it, so it's someone else. But here, when it's the kohen doing everything, the kohen's bringing the flour, the kohen's baking it, the kohen's putting the kometz on the altar, say, if it were to be eaten, so the kohen would be putting the kometz on the altar, and then he would be eating it, so it's just like, ha, I'm baking bread today. So it's in a special fashion, so I have to put a little bit there, and, you know, it's in a special way, but I'm just breaking my bread. Ba'af ki yochlu chaverav shelo v'u shelen, and even though the kohanim will eat each other, it's yale akol lechezbonecha, it all, you know, evens out. So can have the proper effect. In other words, when a Yisrael brings a korban, it can have the effect because he's like, I don't get to eat this. I have to give it to, a little bit is burned at the altar. I have to give it to a kohen. So you're making some sort of sacrifice, literally. Every korban that is offered on the altar has to be scooped. That goes on the altar, the rest is eaten by the kohanim. Except for the menachos of male priests. You just put it all on the altar. It's completely burned, should not be eaten. The mincha that the first kohen, the first korban that any korban ever brings in his life. And the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Shehevi minchas choti or minchas nedava, let's say he was poor and he brought it as a chatas or some other reason he wanted to offer to volunteer a mincha. Kulan nisrafos agabi hamizbech ve'enu nikmatzos, they don't get scooped at all. Chmosha amruz lemala b'seder zeh, say gimel in the third mitzvahs asay of this parsha. The inyan hakmitza. So what is the kmitza? And the commentators point out that why is the Sefer HaChinuch telling you how the mincha is scooped in over here? Because this mitzvah is talking about a mincha that's not scooped. So why didn't he tell it in a different mitzvah? Okay, whatever. Hu shenota akoin min hakemach bekumtzo. So he takes the flour in his fist. Kelomar beroshei etzbosav. With the tips of his fingers, and it doesn't mean literally. The Gemara says that if you only take with the tips of your fingers like this, that's pasul. You need to do your whole hand. So the Mechinuch probably doesn't mean the tips of your fingers. It just means that you scoop it with the tips of your fingers, but it eventually becomes to be the whole handful. Kederach shekomeitz kol adam, the normal manner that somebody scoops a flour or even a liquid with your hand. Sheposheit pas yado, you stick your hand out. The komeitz barashe etzbosav. Again, he says barashe etzbosav, but that's not what he means. Now, it doesn't mean just with the tips of the fingers. Komeitz etzbosav dveikim imakaf. He says explicitly, basically, that his fingers should be touching the palm. Veina machzikim inakem acharbe. This holds very little of the flour. And you go like this. And again, the Sefer Chinuch is going with the Rambam. They use all the fingers to do the kmitza, whereas it seems to say in the Gemara, that maybe the Rambam thinks it's not the conclusion of the Gemara, but according to other authorities, you only use these fingers to do the kmitza. But in any case, it has to be actually touching. It can't be. And it says specifically, "V'yeser v'kegon v'imhotzi v'kom es gon shirchik ekspotza v'komatz pasal." So let's say you wanted an extra generous scoop, so you went like this, and there was this your whole hand was full of flour, and you didn't actually go like this. Then just whatever your flour happened to wind up in the middle of your hand over here, so that's actually puzzle because you put too much. That's wrong.
I'll explain the Maseches Menachos as you would expect. So nobody's allowed to eat it, neither males nor females, bizman habayis. Again, you're not allowed to eat even the tiniest amount of it, but you don't receive the punishment until you eat an olive's bulk. V'lashon Sifra, Kalil Tialo Seachel, the Halachic Medrash on Sefer Vayikra tells us that it should be completely burned. It should be in Kolshu b'chalil tiye litein lo saaseh al achilaso. That it says explicitly in Chazal, not even just, so a lot of times the exact counting of the mitzvos is subject to a machlokas rishonim, and how the rishonim are interpreting all the statements in Chazal and how they're counting up the different things in the Chumash. But here it points out that the Chazal themselves say explicitly that the point of this pasuk is to tell you that this doesn't just count as an asay, that it has to be completely burned, but there's a negative commandment associated as well. So nobody can argue with that, that this is definitely counted as a negative commandment. Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Ches, the 138th mitzvah, mitzvahs Maaseh Hachatos, how to do the sin offering. They have to do the korban chatos, the sin offering, in the manner that's prescribed in the Torah. Eze chatos sheyia shel behema shel oof, shneamar zostia chatos, whether it's an animal or a bird or whatever. Kevar amarnu lemala ki beprote hakorbanos klomer beseder shchitasam beize makom, where we already discussed how we can't really find reasons for exactly the details of the korbanos. We can find reasons for the korbanos in general, but not for all the details, at least unless we resort to Kabbalah. Where in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash they have to be slaughtered. They have to be burnt on the altar, and the blood has to be sprinkled. Exactly the restrictions in terms of the time and place where they're eaten. Sometimes they're burnt. We can't figure this out, what's going on here at all. Maybe there'll be one sage per city who's sufficiently well-versed in Kabbalah and the mystical aspects of the Torah to figure out a little bit, to start figuring out maybe the first inklings of what might be going on over here. So it's enough that we wrote the generalities about the korbanos above. I'm exempting myself from explaining to you further. That's why I'm not going to go and explain the details over here, the reasoning behind the mitzvah. The chatos is general part of the details of how all the korbanos are done. Shaklal hu shakravas hakorban, v'apratimim toras hakravas uketzav. In other words, they can tell you the reasoning behind why you have to bring the korban, but not the details of exactly how the korban has to be offered. V'nei haramban zichron levracha. Usually this comes at the end when he talks about the details of the disagreements between the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of how to count the mitzvos. But here he throws it in right in the middle. So he doesn't hold this as part of the mitzvahs at all. Exactly. In other words, the Rambam counts each one separately. He says there's a mitzvah to bring shlamim at the appropriate times, and how to do shlamim is a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to bring a chatas, as we saw already, and there's a mitzvah to perform for the kohanim to perform the chatas in the correct fashion. Two separate mitzvahs. The Rambam says no, that's ridiculous. The main thing is that the person who's chayef to bring the korban brings the korban. That's the main command. It's not correct that the actions of how the kohanim should perform it are each separate mitzvahs. You have to bring the korban, and you have to follow the laws of how to bring the korban, obviously. That's just something that the Torah has to teach us as a side note of, here, you must bring this korban. Oh, by the way, this is the korban is done. If it's not done in the proper way, then it's not good. In many cases, in korbanos, it's funny, it's one of the only cases where you find the difference between lechatchila and bedieved on a deraisa level. Whether normally, when you're talking about a halacha deraisa, you have to do it a certain way, and that's it. If you didn't do it,
There's no idea that you should do it in a more stringent fashion, or there's no idea that if you do it in a more lax fashion, so maybe you fulfilled the mitzvah ex post facto, even if you didn't do it in the ideal way. There's no ideal and ex post facto. There's just one way to do it. But when you're talking about hearing korbanos, even on the Raisa level, there's an ideal way to do it. But if you didn't do it necessarily in the most ideal way, so you're still yotze. But in Derabanans, of course, when we're talking about rabbinical halachos, so a lot of times we have differences between the ideal way to do the mitzvah and a ex post facto. If you did it a different way, then you're yotze. This is the language of the Ramban. Kol ma'aseh korbanos mitzvah achas v'nistavu kol zera aron b'avodasam. To do all the korbanos in their proper manner is one commandment for the kohanim. The mitzvah says achas shenemar. Va'avadtem avodas matano etenes eskunaschem. Perusha, what's the reasoning? What's the explanation of that pasuk? Ta'avod b'chol avodas hakuna ki avoda matana li umatana lechem. The pasuk doesn't say explicitly this is the mitzvah to do all the korbanos in the proper manner, but since it's just saying generally this is my gift, so to speak, for you, the kohanim, of how to do the avoda, so you do it in the proper manner. So you, the matana is, the present is that if you do these things, so you don't have to work, this is your work. You don't have to work for your food, because you get truma and from the rest of the Jewish people, and you don't have to work for others, for meat, because you're eating everything in the Beis HaMikdash, so you're pretty much taken care of, even if you don't have to work. We're following, as we know, even when the Chinuch himself finds the Rambam Shita difficult of how to count the mitzvos, nevertheless, in the main text of his work, so he follows always follows the count of the Rambam. Lo nite v'hadavar sheyikshe nisla akoshi banu velo bo. If there's a difficulty, blame us and not the Rambam, because the Rambam's great. Kihu be'emes sibaseinu be'esek zeh. So he started this whole revolution of more thorough analysis and how to count the number of mitzvos. So really, even if we have some difficulty with his work, we still have to thank him for the groundbreaking foundation that he laid in this type of learning of counting the mitzvos. Yonuach hatzadek al mishkavo. He says, "Rest in peace, Rambam." Midine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah, ma sha'amar zichrono livracha, she'achatos boin mechamish aminim. The sin offerings are five types. Mikvasim, they're brought from sheep, the izim goats, ubakar, and from cattle. Bein gedolim bein ktanim, some are brought from young animals before they turn one, and some after. The katnos v'gedulos, what's considered a young animal, what's considered an old animal, we'll explain when we talk about the shlamim. We talked about it a little bit already in the past, but they'll all be more thorough. Ubayin gamkein, bein min azachar and akeva, some are male, some are female, min hatorim, min b'nei hayona. And it can be brought from turtle doves or pigeons. Uchvar, whatever it is, I don't know exactly the translations, but what exact words they're talking about, but something like that. We talked a little bit about it, and we talked about the sin offering that comes from birds. Some chatas, we think of a chatas, the classical chatas is you do a sin that has kares when you do it on purpose. And if you do it not on purpose, you have to bring a chatas. But it says some general communal sacrifices are called the chatas that fall under the parameters of the sin offerings. Some are individual offerings, of course. Some are burnt completely. And he says over here on the altar of the Beis HaMikdash in the courtyard, was this not really correct? There are lots of, seems to be a lot of scribal errors or inaccuracies in Sefer HaChinah, because somebody has to. So, because a lot of, when the chatos are burnt completely, they're burnt outside the Nirushalayim. And it was just the emurim, the innards, that are burnt on the altar. When they're completely burnt, chatos, they're not completely burnt on the altar, yeah. Some are eaten completely, not burnt at all. Chutz min ha'emurim, the innards, which are she'u nisrafin al mizbeach achitz, and those are burnt on the altar in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. She'ein osin b'pnimi kol hashana l'haktores. So, except for Yom Kippur, the only thing you burn on the inner altar, the golden altar that's in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, is the incense. Kemo she'amarnu lamala, as we explained above. Ve'elu min ha'imurin shel shoro shel eiz. What are considered the innards of of cattle or of goats? Ha'chelev shel ha'kerev, the fat that's on the stomach. Of the intestines, uvechlolo chelev shal gabe akeva, the fat on the stomach, ushte hakloyos, vechelev shalayam, the two kidneys with the fat on top of it, imachelev ashal haksolim, and the fat that's also on the flanks. Vyoseres hak, again, there's a diagram in here. Vyoseres hakavid, and an appendage of the liver, hanikral pulgar belaz, which is called pulgar. What does pulgar mean in Spanish? So apparently pulgar means thumb.
Animals?
Oh, animals, sorry. So a thumb, there's apparently a protrusion from the liver that sort of looks like a thumb. So that's what we're talking about. That's Yoseres HaKovid. Some say, though, that Yoseres HaKovid doesn't mean that at all. It means the diaphragm. Venotel min HaKovid ma'at im ha-Yoseres. You don't just chop off the little thumb-looking thing. You actually make sure you take a little bit of the liver with this thumb-looking thing. Okay. V'ha'imurin shel min keves heim elu ba'atzman. When it's a sheep from the sheep family, so it's these plus. So mostly v'alayim min ha'keves shenod limenu od ha'alya t'mima. You take the tail completely by itself. Im ha'chulyo shebeshidra ad makom ha'klayos. You don't just chop off the tail. You go all the way to the spine until where the place of the kidneys. Shenemar lumas he'otze yisirena, that you should take it out opposite the otze. So we don't know exactly what the otze is. So what Chazal darshan is kolomar milumas makom haklayos v'chinu amakom ahu min kain mipnei she'amru zichron rocha shaklayos yoatzos. So etzeh sounds like etzah, which means advice. So the belief in the ancient world was that your conscience or your what gave you advice was stored actually housed in your kidneys. So that's how Chazal figured out what the word etzeh means in ancient biblical Hebrew, which is how, in other words, since it sort of sounds like etzah, and there was the belief that the kalaya, that the kidneys gave advice or counsel, then that's...
My gut feeling is...
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's where you should stop with your removal of the tail. So you take the spine from the place of the kidneys all the way down to the end of the tail. So, I forgot to look. I have to look what the academic scholarship says the atzeh is. In terms of, I would imagine it's somewhere around the same place, but I assume it's a different derivation. And what Chazal said in terms of the eaten chatas, how it has to be shechted, and the blood has to be sprinkled on the altar, has to be shechted on the northern side. What if you do something wrong? Let's say you have in mind to eat it at an improper time or something like that, which I'll discuss the halachos in greater detail in one of the future mitzvos that creates problems. Ma'adinam v'yaser prateh kulam bezvachim. It's all discussed in the tractate that you'd expect, which is Maseches Zvachim. The Kochim is a separate world. That's why the Briskers love it, because they came up with, they have this, their new method of studying, of learning, that's different from what was this classical method of Torah study. So they like studying Kochim because it's not so much commentary on it. So they get to come up with their own Kiddushim, because it's a totally different Klolim, totally different general principles that govern Kochim that govern the rest of the Torah. This is only applicable to male kohanim because they're going to be performing the sacrifice of the chatas. If you did it improperly, bitel aseizeh, that you neglected to fulfill this positive commandment.